This is the first chapter of part 6, prose forms. Name of the chapter, the essay. The essay, an attractive but very puzzling term, is one of the most flexible and loosely used of all literary forms. The nature of this literary term has never been precisely determined. The fact is that it is easier to read and enjoy an essay than to define what exactly the word means. W. H. Hudson explains that its outlines are so uncertain and it varies so much in matter, purpose and style that systematic treatment of it is impossible. Even though critics and authors have made sincere efforts to define it, yet they have not so far been able to present a single satisfactory and comprehensive definition of the term. Number 1. Collier's Encyclopedia defines it as a form of writing which may be defined as non-technical prose exposition with a personal point of view, composed to be read at a single sitting and as a complete work. Number 2. Encyclopedia Americana explains it as any relatively brief composition on a restricted topic. It is one of the principal divisions of literature, along with poetry, drama, and fiction. Number 3. According to Dr. Johnson, an essay is a loose sally of the mind, an irregular indigested piece, not a regular and orderly composition. Number 4. Murray's The Oxford English Dictionary speaks of the essay as a composition of moderate length on any particular subject or branch of a subject, originally implying want of finish, but now said of a composition more or less elaborate in style, though limited in range. Number 5. J.B. Priestley says that the essay is a genuine expression of an original personality, an artful and enduring kind of talk. Number 6. Saint Bury calls it more loosely the after-dinner monologue of an interesting and well-informed man. Any of the definitions mentioned above fails to cover up all the aspects of the essay and clear up the confusion. Thus, it is quite evident that this term cannot be rigorously fixed in an inner definition. Though these definitions are not perfect and satisfactory, they are of great help in framing a working definition of the essay. However, the definition given by Chris Baldick in the Concise Oxford Dictionary of Literary Terms seems to be more judicious and convincing. A short written composition in prose that discusses a subject or proposes an argument without claiming to be a complete or thorough exposition. A minor literary form, the essay is more relaxed than the formal academic dissertation. This definition is not rigid but pragmatic and has the advantage of being applicable to a vast proportion of essays. Neither this nor any of the foregoing definition can be applied to John Locke's essay concerning human understanding, or Alexander Pope's essay on criticism and essay on man, because the first is very lengthy and the second two are in verse, not in prose. Thus, on the ground of the foregoing definitions, some common points can be taken out that may serve as the characteristics of an essay. Number 1. It is a short prose composition. Shortness is the chief characteristic of the essay. Number 2. It never attempts to say too much about its subject. An essay has no pretension to completeness or thoroughness of treatment, because the chief implication of the word is tentative study. An author cannot express fully what he feels or thinks. He selects only the significant part of it. Number 3. It deals with various subjects ranging from earth to heaven. Number 4. It does not follow a logical development, but aims at the unity of effect. The whole discussion is centered on a single mood or emotion or idea. Number 5. It may be personal or impersonal, but the genuine essay is rather informal in tone. It must reflect the personality of the author. Number 6. It should be engaging and pleasing to be kept in mind for some time. The word essay can be applied to a very large body of writing. Hugh Walker says that there is no subject from the stars to the dust heap and from the amoeba to man which may not be dealt with an essay. From this point of view, essay can be philosophical, scientific, historical, critical, social, and so on. It will be a futile attempt to classify the types of essays because the subject matter is, of course, practically unlimited. But if we look more closely, we shall find that there are two principal kinds of essay, formal and informal. The formal essay. The essay which deals with a subject without ever touching the personality of the writer is called a formal essay. It has logical structure, dignity, and seriousness of purpose. It may be critical, dogmatic, examining and passing judgment on the works of art or events of history. It may be scientific, presenting the result of experiment or observation. It may be philosophic, dealing with moral, religious, education, social or political issues. In the strictness sense, the formal essay, like the informal, needs to be shaped by an attitude and a special point of view, but with less emphasis on the author than in the impersonal essay. The formal essay should also have greater dignity and scope, firmer organization, and greater earnestness of purpose. Bacon is the champion of writing formal essays. His essays are an epitome of insight and practical wisdom. They are impersonal, realistic, didactic, curt, and epigrammatic. The term formal essay is often applied to expository or descriptive pieces that are factual and objective, such as the 20th century magazine article or that present recent opinions such as editorials. The informal essay. The informal or familiar essay is highly personal, intimate, chatty, relaxed, discursive, conversational, and frequently humorous. It is conventional in tone and loose and informal in structure. It may range from brief observations to extended and elaborate treatment of subject. It is suggestive rather than formal or analytical treatment of the subject. Its style is graceful and appears to be spontaneous and a conscious striving for literary effect. In the informal essay, emphasis is given on some aspect of the personality of the author. The essayist reveals as much about himself as his subject. He lays bare his heart before the reader without any shy and goes on speaking about his likings and dislikings, memories and experiences, prejudices and eccentricities, sorrows and frustration. In the words of Hudson, the true essay is essentially personal. It belongs therefore to the literature of self-expression. Treatise and dissertation may be objective. The essay is subjective. Montaigne is the first impersonal essayist. He says, "Myself am the groundwork of my book." His essays constitute an urban body of autobiography. In English, Charles Lamb's essays are steeped in personal elements colored with humor and pathos. He really deserves to be called the Prince of English Essays. The remarks of E.V. Lucas is quite applicable to Lamb. He says, "A good essay, more than a novel, a poem, a play, or a treatise, is personality translated into print, between the lines, much gleam, attractive features." The informal essay is the most urban and civilized of literary forms. It attempts to convey a mood and an attitude, to persuade without argument, and to entertain without strain. It may be a narrative, a description, an anecdote, a reflection, a dream, or any of various other things. What the author thinks about the subject matters more than the subject itself, and how he expresses that attitude is the essence of the art of the piece. Often, but by no means always, the informal essay is considered the only one that may be regarded as a truly literary type. A brief history of the essay. This composition was quite known to the classical Greek and Roman writers, but they did not call in it essay. The dialogues of Plato, the characters of Theophrastus, Theophrastus, the epistles of Pliny and of Seneca, the moral writings of Plutarch, the disputations of Cicero, the meditations of Marcus Aurelius, the treatises of Aristotle, might well today be classed under the general conception of the essay. Bacon rightly observes that the word is late, but the thing is ancient. The standard name was given in 1580 by the French writer Montaigne. He coined the word essay when he gave the title Essays to his first publication. The meaning of this French term is experiment or attempt that indicates the tentative and unsystematic nature of this composition. In English, this term is first used by Bacon in the 16th century in the collection of his essays. After that, a tradition of essay writing begins in English. In the first half of the 17th century, flourished a group of character writers. Joseph Hall was famous for his Characters of Virtues and Vices, written in a satirical style. There was a massive flow of the periodical essays in the early years of the 18th century. The Tatler, 1709, and The Spectator, 1711, with the joint efforts of Addison and Steele, considerably helped the growth of essay. Addison used delicate irony and genial satire to teach the readers manner and morals. After the decline of the periodical essays comes the golden period with a touch of perfection in the essays of Charles Lamb. His essays are recognized for their intimate and human appeal. The unusual charm and poignancy of Lamb made him the most lovable of the romantics. Other notable essayists of the 19th century were William Hazlitt, Leigh Hunt, Thomas D. Quincy, Walter Savage Landor, and R. L. Stevenson. They combined social comment with a confessional and autobiographical element. In the 20th century, the essay has become the most suitable medium of expressing social, political, and cultural comments. The modern world is flooded with journals, papers, periodicals, and magazines pouring out scores of essays every week, most of them formal in type. George Orwell, G.K. Chesterton, E.V. Lucas, A.G. Gardiner, Robert Lind, Hilaire Belloc, and E.M. Forster are the impressive essayists in our crowned times. This chapter is now over.